The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio, joined by Lee Phelps. And we have Tony Scott on the line, a football betting tipster from the Liverpool Echo, who is, of course, looking forward to the big Merseyside derby this weekend. Mr. Phelps and I actually went around Liverpool yesterday.
Yeah, we were there, Tony. We should have dropped in and said hello to you.
Yeah, should have called in.
We were getting the word on the street, and there were quite a few people expecting Liverpool to win the game. And I think we got one Everton fan in the end who
expected Liverpool to win the game.
Expected Liverpool to win the game as well.
The reason we didn't come and see you, Tony, was because if you actually met us the day before you were appearing, you might rescind your invitation. You weren't want to appear, so we thought we'd just leave it to today.
I think what it is in the city at the moment is that both sets of supporters, Everton and Liverpool, they're kind of feeding the waste, because none of them are in the best of form at the moment, conceding goals left, right and centre, and I think they're both feeling the waste going into Saturday's game.
We'll start off with that game. We'll spin through the TV games and then get stuck into the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs. This is the big game of the week, the Merseyside derby. Liverpool 10-11 here with William Hill. The draw is 12-5. Everton in the betting at 3-1. Headline offers: Steven Gerrard to score and Liverpool to win 4-1, and Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win in the betting at 6-1. Tony, you're a big Everton fan. Come into this match on the back of back-to-back losses, a shock defeat against Crystal Palace at Goodison, and then Roberto Martinez. Tony, he made changes midweek and they lost 3-0 in the Capital One Cup to Swansea. It must be slightly disappointed with the start to the season.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, really. I think we got a good result against West Brom a couple of weeks ago, and then we followed it up with a nice 4-1 victory against Wolfsburg, and the team played quite well. Then it was followed up by one or two changes against Crystal Palace, and then the changes puffed up against Swansea, which didn't help the team. The defence looks a bit disjointed at the moment with the loss of Seamus Coleman, and then John Stones has to move to right back, and it's sort of the defence is all over the place at the moment, and that's why Everton fans are feeling the worst at the moment going into Saturday's game. You can't see where the next clean sheet's coming from, you see. So I think I personally, if it was coming from an outside point of view, looking in on the Merseyside derby, I wouldn't be touching any kind of team for the victory. Mm. I'd be betting elsewhere on maybe a booking or a sending off in it, but I wouldn't be betting either team with any confidence at all.
Now, Liverpool do look short at 10-11, and you mentioned a decent start for Everton, the stuttered subsequently. It's a game that you'd love to see Romelu Lukaku step forward, you know, improve his worth in a game like this, of this magnitude.
Yeah, well, I said Lukaku's got the first goal in the last couple of games recently against Crystal Palace and West Brom. So he is banging form, and he has got previous against Liverpool in the past. He scored home and away against Liverpool for West Brom, and he scored a couple of goals in the fixture at Goodison last season in 3-3. So he does like scoring a pass to Liverpool, and I wouldn't put a pass to him in finding their first on Saturday.
He's 13-2 to score first, 13-2 to score last, and 7-4 to score any time.
Scored any time is well worth a bet. I wouldn't put anyone off back on that.
I mean, I know you said, Tony, about Everton's defence, but Liverpool fans must be equally worried about their defending as well. I mean,
they really are at the moment, Liverpool fans. As I said, I think they've kept one clean sheet in the last 11 or 12 games at the moment, so they aren't brimming with quite confidence themselves.
And look at that price on Lukaku, you know, he's obviously a player. I imagine, if you were a centre back, he's the least, you know, the player you'd like least to play against.
Yes.
He's just, you know, so big and so mobile, and, you know, obviously he can score from anywhere. I think that's a really good price, 7-4. I've got to agree with Tony in terms of the match prices. It's so difficult. I was intrigued, you know, the whole thing where, you know, pundits, and I might customarily say this on the pun, you know, our form goes out the window. I wondered if it did, really, you know, because, you know, you look back at last year, 4-0 to Liverpool, you know, at home, was a pretty emphatic result. But at the time, you know, Liverpool were flying. I think they were in a really rich vein of form, and Everton had stuttered a tiny bit in the league. The 3-3 draw, you know, I think Everton had actually started pretty well, and Liverpool were having a little bit of a sticky patch for them last season. I just think this game, it's so passionate. It's probably one of the derbies that even the foreign players come into and understand straight away, because it is so passionate, and the ground is so close, and all the rest of it.
I think what it is with that is that the foreign guys do get it straight away. let's rip out a couple of tales of what goes on in the dressing room. Like, the guys, the local lads grab hold of them by the scruff of the neck for both teams and say, listen, this is what it is about. And that only brings on to the pitch, because, as I said, what people need to, when they're having a bet tomorrow, they need to find out the Merseyside derby is the one with the most sendings off in Premier League history. Yeah. And that is the bet I fancy. It's 5-2. Martin Atkinson, you can have 5-2, 12-5. Martin Atkinson has sent off 3 players before in the past, but one thing that has put me off, he's refereed 3 Merseyside derbies in the past. He sent off 3 players and there's been 3 Liverpool wins, so it is worth bearing in mind when I'm having a bet. Yeah, I'll be betting on probably over 2 or 3 yellow cards and maybe a sending off. 12-5, 5-2 is a great chance.
Yeah, it does look very good, that. I mean, when you look at why do you think it is, Tony? There's this amazing stat, how Everton haven't won at Anfield since 1999. I mean, you've got different players, different managers, different tactics that, you know, teams have employed. Why is it? Is there some sort of psychological thing? Roberto Martinez was talking about it, wasn't he, in the week? He was kind of almost saying, yeah, there is a psychological thing and we're going to break it. Why is it?
Yeah, it really is a mental block, because under David Moyes, although for how well Everton did do under David Moyes throughout the years, 5th and 6th, and they got into 4th, and so it was a mental block with the players, and they were going into Anfield fearing the worst. Whereas last season, I think Martinez was a bit more naive, and it was gung-ho at Liverpool last season, and he just flew out the blocks, and the Liverpool counter-attacked Liverpool at the very, very best, and Everton were lucky to get away with a 4-0, to be honest. Sturridge missed the penalty, could have been 5, 6, 7, any score you like. I think Martinez will go in a little bit cautious from what it will be of last season, but if I was going to have a bet, I'm not just saying this because I'm an Everton fan, if I was going to have a bet, I wouldn't be touching Liverpool at 10-11, especially at home. He struggled against Ludogorets the last weekend in the Champions League. He struggled against Middlesbrough in the Cup. He's been beaten off Aston Villa, and he just got past Southampton the first game of the season. So the 4 home games they've had, the crowds are getting on them back quite easily, because there's no Mr. Suarez this year. So they are feeling the worst in the first 10-15 minutes. Because don't forget, last season Liverpool were flying out the blocks, as you know. This season, it isn't happening. They're not getting out the blocks, and that's where the crowds are getting on top. And if I was really having a bet on the match, on that, flicking a coin out of the side, I would be picking Everton around about the 100-30 mark. I wouldn't be touching Liverpool or odds on.
Yeah, Liverpool 10-11, the draw 12-5, Everton 3-1. I don't know what you think about this, Tony, but Lee, I'm interested in Steven Gerrard's impact as well. He's been a talisman in these matches for so long. He's not the player he was.
No, and Tony put me right in my place on Twitter as well. It was a great start. Yeah, on the TV previews that we did last week, I put up Gerrard to score, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then Tony was straight in saying, "Yeah, what was you do the stat, Tony? I don't want to ruin it. You know, you had the stat
basically,
about him
over the last 18 months or over the last year. He scored 4 goals from open play. It's worth bearing in mind he scores a lot of free kicks. As you know, Liverpool have been awarded more penalties than any other team in the history of the Premier League. So, and he takes the large slice of them. So
how many of those penalties were justified as well, Tony?
Oh, I've got to keep him out, I've got to walk around this city this weekend. But to be fair, on the subject of penalties, this is a frightening stat. Everton have been awarded 1 penalty at Anfield since World War II.
No! What a stat!
Believe it or not, that is true.
Do you know what? You may have just started a new feature, stat of the week. We'd have to have a really, but that is a great stat.
That is an absolute
1 penalty since the Second World War.
Since Second World War, Everton have been awarded 1 penalty.
Do you know what it was, by the way?
Wayne Clark got in the 80s. But what I like backing Leighton Baines. I think he's great value for the free kick and a penalty, like Gerrard himself. So I like backing Baines. You get around about the 14s, 12-1 mark every
14s.
Week for them. But we were going to Anfield and I said the stats don't lie that we've been awarded 1 penalty there in the last
amazing.
God knows how you, so I wouldn't be backing him really, to be
that's
honest.
Brilliant, I love that. That is a great stat.
And Tony, you don't know Lee that well. He's got 2 crushes in Premier League football, 1 for either side here. Stephen Naismith for Everton.
Yeah.
Talks about Stephen Naismith religiously on this podcast.
Yeah.
And Steven Gerrard for Liverpool, one of your all-time favourite Premier League players.
He's
the
favourite player of this generation.
Yeah, okay.
All right, obviously he's going over the edge a little bit, but it'd be hard to argue against him being in the top 5 Premier League players of the last 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
For what he's done for Liverpool, doesn't you can't even put into words really for what he's done for Liverpool over the last 15 years. It's been remarkable.
I'm not sure he should be in this team anymore though, Tony. I think he's done and dusted.
For the first time, as I said, I've followed a lot of Liverpool fans on Twitter, and a lot of them, I've got good mates who go to the match home and away, and a lot of guys that report on the games. And for the first time during the week, he was come under a little bit of pressure when he played Liverpool fans against West Ham. He did not have the best of games, but as I said, even though he doesn't have the best of games, he can still pick out a world-class pass that can change a game. So I'd have him in the pitch before any Liverpool midfielder at the moment, put it that way, even though his legs may have gone, but he can pick a pass out better than anyone there in that team. So if I was the Liverpool manager, Brendan Rodgers, he's going to be the first on the team, so you put it that way in Saturday's match.
It's interesting, we've spoken about this before, and I think it was in the preview, that without mentioning any names, heard it on very good authority from a Premier League manager who claims to have been told by Brendan Rodgers that he saw that slip coming last year and thinks his legs may have gone, but he can't drop him, which is interesting. if that's true, I mean, you've got to take things on face value, and it came from a good source, but if that's true, and to be fair, his style of football has changed a lot, hasn't it?
His position has changed a lot. He's playing less as a quarterback. He's playing in front of the back four, so to speak now, and he's got legs in front of him. The trouble is that when the legs don't go in front of him, that's when teams will, up to Addington Park last weekend, West Ham, they pushed him. And when you push Liverpool high up the pitch, then Gerrard can only go further and further back. And he's basically playing as an extra centre-half. Mm. And that's where you can punish Liverpool.
Tony, so what are your bets on this game then, Tony?
Well, my bet, as I said, I fancy the red cards they stack up in everyone's favour at the moment. They're there for all to see. And you can get, as I said, the 12-5 on a sending-off. Mm. And anything above, I'd say, three to four bookings or above, I think it's literally buying money in the derby. As I said, the more yellow cards, more red cards than any other Premier League fixture, it's there for all to see. And I wouldn't put anyone back on that. I wouldn't be backing anyone on to win, to be honest, because I just think two of them, the defences are all over the place at the moment. There's going to be goals in it. It's not going to be nil-nil. That's no stretch of the imagination. But as I said, Brendan Rodgers has never lost a derby. Roberto Martinez has never won one. So it'll be interesting on Saturday to see what happens. But this ends enough for me. Round about the 12-5 mark. That's my bet of the weekend.
Over 2.5 goals in the game is 4-7. Lee, your bet?
I like goals as well, obviously. 4 last year in this fixture, 3-3 in the other one, and obviously I think it's one of the highest scoring fixtures in Premier League history as well. We'll come on to the highest scoring in a bit. I'm going for goals in the first half. In both those games last year, there were 3 goals in the first half. And Liverpool and Everton have both had goals scored and conceded against them in the first half this season already. So I'm looking at over 1.5 first half goals in this match. I hadn't looked at the both teams to score prices for in the first half, and I've just seen that, and it's 3-1 for both teams to score in the first half, which I could actually see. I can't see either team, winning to nil in this game.
No, that's never going to happen. As I said, the goals in Everton's league games this season is averaging just 5 a game. That is worth bearing in mind.
The top of the table, that overs-unders table that you see on websites, Everton are top of that table. So, I like the over 1.5 goals. I mean, anyone can score them then. That's 6-4. But the 3-1 for both teams to score in the first half, I really like that. I think that's a big price.
Good stuff. Let's have a look at the North London derby next then. Arsenal versus Tottenham. This is 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening. Arsenal 4-5, the draw 5-2, Tottenham in the betting at 7-2. Headline offers here, Danny Welbeck to score and Arsenal to win is 3-1. Emmanuel Adebayor to score and Tottenham to win the match 7-1. Lee, Tottenham have won just one of their last 21 Premier League matches away at Arsenal, which is a damning statistic if you're thinking about backing Spurs at 7-2 in this match.
Yeah, and another stat is that Arsenal, score so many goals against Tottenham. Scored 38 goals against them in the last 15 matches, at home. So they're doing fantastic against Tottenham. It's funny because the records are kind of similar. Tottenham haven't got quite as bad a record away at the Emirates or Highbury before that as Everton have at Anfield, but it's not far off, and the odds are very similar actually, aren't they? When you look at them, you can compare. So if you think Tottenham are more likely than Everton to win at Arsenal as Everton are to win at Liverpool, it's a nice little comparison for you. I think both these teams are just a bit weak in midfield, so I think it'll be an open game again. I can see lots of goals again in this one. I just don't think Tottenham have got the They haven't got what Arsenal haven't got, but I think because Arsenal are at home and they can go on the front foot and, you know, and really push Tottenham back, I think they'll suffer more than Arsenal will. So, you know, if I had to pick an outright result, it would be Arsenal. But for me, it's similar to the Liverpool-Everton game. I'm reluctant. I think the only bet really is Arsenal the draw, but obviously you can't have that because they're already odds on. So again, I think I'd be going for goals. I mean, I'm really tempted to have an over 1.5 first half goals double with these two derbies. Because I think they're very, very similar games in that neither team are defending particularly well. They've both got weaknesses. They've both got some serious issues in the middle of the park. But they have both got players in the middle of the park who can score goals. So for me, it's going to be the over 1.5 first half. It's a bit boring going for the same bet in two games. But I just think they're so similar in so many ways. The only difference, I think, here is that Wenger's under a bit of pressure still. You know, he kind of... The win over Villa, like, you know, just kept everyone at bay for a little while. And then they get knocked out of the Capital One Cup by Southampton. So all of a sudden, the pressure's back on him again because, you know, it's another trophy that he can't win. So I think Arsenal will be keyed up for this one. And I think, they'll get going from the opening whistle. Both teams to score in the first half is even bigger than the Merseyside derby. It's 7-2, over 1.5 goals in the first half, so anyone can score them. Is priced up at 13-8.
Really interesting match this one, Tony. I'm looking forward to it immensely, and I just wonder. Lots of talk prior to the match at the weekend about where Mesut Ozil should play and Arsene Wenger using him in the right way. He played in that number 10 role. And they won away at Villa 3-0. I also wonder where Jack Wilshere fits in if he's playing in that number 10 role, Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, well, as you say, Arsenal have got a flurry of quality midfielders in their team at the moment, as you know. But I've got Arsenal in my accumulator this week. I think they're a cracking bet. You can get just a shade of odds on 4-5. Mm. And I'd rather be back in Arsenal at 4-5 than Liverpool around about the same price, to be honest, because Tottenham's centre-forward play, it doesn't strike you with any fear at all, but Adebayor and Soldado, not for me. I'd rather have a Sanchez and a Welbeck up front for me, and that's where I can see the game changing, because I really fancy Arsenal on this one. 4-5, something around the 10-11 price. I think they're a great bet, and they're going straight in the coupon this weekend.
4-5 Arsenal draw, 11-4 Tottenham in the betting at 16-5. Lee,
you'll hear this on Match of the Day. If it happens, you'll hear this stat on Match of the Day, so I'm going to do it first. If there are four goals in this game, it becomes the highest scoring fixture in Premier League history.
Okay,
126 so far. So if there are four in it, Match of the Day, you'll hear that dropped in by someone,
and
by John Champion.
You can see at least four.
Do you reckon?
In the game. Yeah, I do.
I mean, you look back at the head-to-heads between these two. There's been some remarkable score lines. I mean, there were back-to-back 5-2s, weren't there, a couple of seasons ago? There was a 4-4, I think, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. 2012, there's a 5-2 and a 5-2 again. I mean, it's calmed down a bit the last few years. You know, it's been under 2.5 for the last three head-to-heads, but I see this one being a bit more like the old-fashioned games between them.
On to Sunday's matches then. The live TV game on Sunday is the 4 p.m. kickoff between West Brom and Burnley. West Brom even money. The draw 11-5. Burnley in the betting at 3-1. Tony, three straight 0-0 draws for Burnley. The only teams to draw four successive games 0-0, Arsenal and Spurs in Premier League history. And Burnley's clean sheet at Selhurst Park in their last away game was the first they have got away from home in Premier League history, Burnley. The problem with keeping all these clean sheets is you need to capitalise by scoring goals, and they're not doing that either.
Yeah, as I said, I can't see where the goal's coming from for Burnley, to be honest. I said, they're doing great. They're not coming up when they come up last time round, and they were conceding goals left, right and centre. They come up to keep it tight this time round, but as I said, we're keeping it tight. They never look like scoring, to be honest, in the games that I've seen them. And West Brom, although I did see them 2 or 3 weeks ago against Everton, and they were poor. They were really, really poor, but they seemed to change that round last week at Tottenham, and they were well drilled. So I'd be fancying, if I was having a bet in the match, I probably won't, to be honest, because this game, it's not filling me with any confidence to try and win any money. But if it was, I'd be back on West Brom, to be honest, because Burnley up for me up front, they look toothless, to be honest, and I wouldn't be touching them.
Yeah, it's just even money's just a little bit off-putting, isn't it, on West Brom? You think
of
West Brom, do you want to be back in West Brom in the Premier League at even money against anyone, Lee?
No, probably not.
I see what you mean. I mean, you think to yourself, well, you know, Burnley, you know, those 0-0 draws came against Sunderland at home, Crystal Palace away, and Manchester United at home. Obviously, the Man U one looks the best one, but we know Man U are a strange side at the minute, so it's hard to read anything into the form. Didn't score against Sheffield Wednesday either, Burnley. Didn't score away at Swansea. You know, are they going to get a goal against West Brom? West Brom and Hull shared a five-goal midweek League Cup game, so they obviously kind of, I don't know if they just disregarded tactics in that game and just went for it, and you know, and it turned out to be a good game. I think West Brom might go for this. I think they know they need to win these kind of games. They can't afford to sit back and get lulled into a kind of a Burnley 0-0 draw. You know, I was hoping that the over and under 2.5, I was hoping that the unders would be really, really short. It's 13-20, so I'm going to go over 2.5 goals in this at 23-20. I think the bow might break. I think West Brom, Burnley are obviously, you know, keeping it very tight. They play this pressing game where they can get forward, haven't been scoring goals. I think if West Brom do get an early goal, and they managed to get an early one, which I'm banking on, really, then I think Burnley will have to come out a little bit more, and it will create an open game. So, you know, West Brom scored three in the week. I think they'll look to carry that on and get some confidence up. So I'm going to go for, just because of the prices, it's so short, the under 2.5, I'm going to go against the grain and go over 2.5 at 23-20.
I said live TV games on Sunday. There's only one.
Yeah, there's only one.
Just one TV game on Sunday.
I don't think many people will be staying in. I think it might be a family day out.
You've sometimes got the 1:30, 4 p.m. like last week, where you think, I'm not going to move for 5 or 6 hours. Tomorrow might be one of those days where Ryder Cup's on.
Yeah. The other quick one is Brown Adai got his goal in midweek as well in the League Cup, and he's looked lively. 13-8 any time. It's a bit skinny, but you know, for the favourite in the home scorers market, if they are going to score goals, that's probably not a bad price.
Yeah, headline offer there as well. Yeah. Brown Adai to score and West Brom to win 7-2. So you're getting a little bit of a boost on your even money there.
I'm trying to find a stat that would beat the only one penalty since the Second World War.
Never.
How about this one? This game is the 786th different fixture combination in Premier League history.
There you go.
Is that beat Turner's?
No, not quite. Let's move on to the Monday night match then. Stoke versus Newcastle. Stoke 23-20. The draw 11-5. Newcastle in the betting at 5-2. 8 p.m.
This is like having a brilliant starter, an amazing main course, then a pudding that makes you feel sick, and a coffee at the end that just literally makes you leave the
it's
restaurant.
It's not good, is it, though? That Sunday-Monday game, you're thinking, we can do better than this. I think we've mentioned it on previous podcasts, Lee, about Stoke looking better on the counter attack now,
and
we've got a big Stoke fan, Tony, in the office, and he says that's definitely the case. They're not quite the force they once were at home, but Tony, this looks like a decent spot for them, given that everything that's going on with Newcastle at the moment.
Yeah, as I said, Stoke under Pulis, they were backable every week, wasn't he? To be honest, you know you're going to get a good run for your money with Stoke backing them at home. But under Hughes, they seem to change the philosophy and the way they're playing, and they're leaving themselves a bit wide open. As I said, your guy in the studio knows probably more better than I do, is that away from home, these two teams are a bit more expansive and go at teams, and they're scoring twos and threes away from home. Not many teams will go at Manchester City and take 3 points off them. So you can see where those points coming from, but at home, I don't know, even though they're still playing Newcastle in a terrible run of form at the moment themselves, I'll be looking towards the draw here, to be honest, because I think Newcastle will try and keep it tight, and I can't see Stoke taking the points here either. So if I was having a bet, I'd be picking the score draw, to be honest, on this one.
The draw in the betting at 11-5. If you fancy a score draw, 1-1 is 6-1, 2-1 is 18-1, and 3-1 is 80-1. So some interesting prices there.
I wouldn't be back in the 3-0, to be honest. If it was maybe a 1-1, it may go to 2-0, but definitely a draw for me. I wouldn't be touching either team at home all the way, to be honest.
Lee, could this be Alan Pardew's last stand? Mike Ashley, obviously, is a big supporter of Pardew and a big advocate of his management style. No one knows whether or not he is going to stay with him or maybe release him, but I think if there's a danger of Newcastle going down, it's always cash comes first with Ashley, and he'll be out the door if there's potential for that happening, because that would be a big loss from a company perspective.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, yeah, the rumours are that he was given another, given last week's game, and you know, they pulled that round. They won in the League Cup after extra time. So you know, the players are playing for the manager. It's clear to see that they haven't chucked in the towel, and they obviously want him to stay, or the personal pride's getting them through. Now Newcastle have been away, you know, a couple of times with vastly differing fortunes. They went to away to Aston Villa and set up very defensively and very stable, and we know that Villa struggled to break teams down, worked a treat, got a 0-0 draw, everything's fine. Went to Southampton, tried to do the same thing. Southampton are a much more, you know, mobile team, and they can break teams down, or they can try, got beat 4-0. You know, so they've had two efforts at it, and they've come unstuck on one of them, and it's worked on the other. I think they'll have another go at that. I don't see why they'll change the formation. I think they'll go to Stoke and try and shut Stoke down. I don't think it'll work, though. I think Stoke, the two results at home have been poor. 2-1-0 defeats are just not good enough, as Tony is saying. That's not what you got under Pulis. But when you look a little bit deeper, they had 27 attempts on goal against Leicester. 27. Yeah. You know, it's a lot. They're still playing the same kind of way, Stoke. They're still solid at the back and playing, you know, not on the break because they're at home, but still pushing forward and attacking. Six of those were on target, didn't score a goal. In the 1-0 defeat to Aston Villa, who are the kind of counter-attacking team, had 12 attempts on goal that match, so not as many as the Leicester one, but still enough to think that you might get a goal out of it, and didn't get a goal. There are goals coming. They just need to finish a little bit better. And the same against QPR when they're away from home. If they'd finished better, they would have won that game. No question about it. I think they dominated QPR.
Have they got the personnel, though, to finish better?
Yeah, I think they have. I think they have got, you know, Diouf is obviously a good striker. Crouch is a good, decent striker. You know, he's scored goals wherever he's been. I think they have got that amongst them. I think Stoke have been making the chances but missing them. Newcastle haven't really been making the chance on the road. So I think Stoke can outscore Newcastle here. I don't mind the price, to be fair. Stoke to win it.
23-20?
Yeah, I think that's all right. Odds against. I think Newcastle haven't shown me enough on the road. I think Stoke have been slightly unlucky at home. But I mean, I could also see it being low on the goals as well, to be fair. You know, I don't think there's going to be many because I think Newcastle will set up. I'm not saying Stoke are going to go and do what Southampton did. So I'd be looking at maybe Stoke to win and under 2.5 goals. Just under 2.5, under 1.5 goals is a pretty decent price. But, you know, I think they could get two out of it. So Stoke to win and under 2.5 goals for me.
11-4, yep. Stoke to win and under 2.5 goals. That's the four live matches this weekend done and dusted. Let's get stuck into the 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. We'll start with Hull and Man City here. Hull in the betting at 11-2. The draw is in the market at 13-5. Man City in the betting at 4-7. Lee, I don't know if we've mentioned this on Punt Podcast in the past or we've talked about it off air, but something that's becoming apparent with every passing week is Man City's ill discipline. 15 bookings they've got this season. It's not a big deal at this stage of the season, but it could be further down the line.
We have talked about it in the fact that what I've noticed about City is they've adopted this tactic that some of the South American teams did in the World Cup, which is when they lose possession, they commit a niggly foul just to stop the play, get back in position, and off you go again. Now, they accumulate, and you tend to find that they eventually get some bookings. If you look at those 15, the majority are away from home. They don't need to do that at home. I don't know if they'll need to do it against Hull, to be honest with you. You know, we put that up on one of the TV previews we did in the Bayern Munich game, that they would, you know, they'd have more bookings than Bayern Munich. And, you know, it's odds on, just odds on usually, but it lands very easily. I'm not sure they'll have that much trouble against Hull. I think Hull have got it all on here to figure out a way of getting the better of a Manchester City side who looked fantastic in midweek, putting seven past Sheffield Wednesday in the second half. But look at their away form. You know, so far this season, they've won one match away from home, Manchester City. Now, of course, you know, that was at Newcastle. They've been to Arsenal, they've been to Bayern Munich. So it's, you know, two tricky places to go. I think this is a tricky game to call. I mean, I really can't have Man City at the price. And that sounds ridiculous, being that they're the champions, but I think they're way too short for a team in Hull who know how to set up, you know, who know how to set up to defend well and hit on the break. I'm going to go for I'm going for the draw in this one.
Are you really?
I am. I'm going to go for the draw and Hull to really set up strong and try and defend for their lives at 13-5. I just don't see, to get value out of it, City would have to score some goals, I think. I don't see them scoring that many goals.
By the way, Man City most booking points in the match is 13-10. You do have the draw in there, of course, as well. 13 to 10 Man City, most booking points. A lot of people, Tony, I think, will be thinking about this fixture last season. City won it 2-0. They played with 10 men for 80 minutes last season, still won 2-0. I'm actually kind of with Lee here. I'm pretty positive with this Hull side this season. It was disappointing that they couldn't hang on to that lead against Newcastle last weekend. They did lose midweek against West Brom as well. I just think that they've got... I reckon as the season goes on, they might become more and more tenacious, this Hull side. How do you rate them, Tony?
I quite like Hull, to be honest. I said they've took one of them, our former players in the Kiki Jelovic, and he started banging them in for them lately. And as I said, I agree with the points you've just made there about Manchester City being quite skinny at odds on, and I wouldn't be backing them personally at odds on away from home, because this Manchester City side, it doesn't bring you a confidence at the back. Last year, or maybe the year before, you'd think City, they're going to be winning 2-3-4-0s. This side, they just look like conceding every game. I said Stoke at home and Chelsea last week, and you're thinking, it doesn't fill your confidence. If you're backing the champions, you want them to be solid at the back at least, and with odds on as well. I like the bet. I said, I do fancy Manchester City, but I don't think they can. I do think they concede. I like the idea of the score and win for Manchester City. That interests me quite a lot, because I can see Hull scoring. As I said, I do fancy Manchester City to overpower them in the end. So the score and win bet for Manchester City interests me quite a lot.
Yeah, match result and both teams to score in the betting. Man City 12-5 in that market. We seem to talk about Yaya Toure as well, Tony, on the podcast every week, and whether or not he's going to perform for City this season.
Did against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, he did against Sheffield Wednesday. He played well in that match. I just wonder, if things get difficult for him, whether he's that bothered this season.
He interests me. Sorry. One minute he can look like a Champions League player, the next he can look like a Sunday League player. He is that difference between them. When you watch Manchester, you're waiting for him to, like what Steven Gerrard does for Liverpool, drag the team like he was last season. This season he just seems to have lost all his interest in playing for them, and you're just waiting for him to drag this team as he did last season when they were the champions, and he won a lot of points for Manchester City last season. There was no doubt about that. He dragged them through some tough games, but you're just waiting for him to do it this season, and he just doesn't seem to get going. It seems as if he's lost interest in Manchester City, or he's lost interest with love of the game. He just comes across as me as if he's just a laboured figure, like a Berbatov type of player, just plays when he wants to, and that's what he's come across to me this season.
On to Crystal Palace versus Leicester then, 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace 17-10, the draw 21-10, Leicester in the betting at 17-10. William Hill can't split them, Tony, here. Unbelievable performance from Leicester last week. Came from 3-1 down to beat Manchester United 5-3. The penalty awarded undoubtedly the turning point. That galvanised the crowd, got them into the match, and Leicester never looked back from that point onwards.
They didn't, to be honest. Although I did think Manu would go for the win last week, until Mark Clattenburg gave that penalty away, I thought Man U would go for the win. They were 3-1 up, and that just galvanises the team, and the crowd get rocking. And as I said, decisions like that can change games, but full credit to Leicester. They were brilliant on the day. I watched Leicester first game of the season against Everton this season, and they were quite nervous. They were really, the crowds are nervous, the players are nervous, but they dug in there and they got a 2-0 draw against Everton. But from then on in, they picked up some superb results. They went to Chelsea and put up a good show, and as I said, with the 5-3 victory last week as well. And so, with them playing Crystal Palace, I was very, very impressed with Crystal Palace last week at Goodison Park. They pressed Everton to all kinds of mistakes. And experienced players like your Gareth Barry's and Leon Osmond, they were making mistakes with Crystal Palace's pressing game. And these two teams are pressing. They are pressing teams. So it will be quite interesting to see how it goes. And as I said, the score draw interests me in this one quite a lot as well.
The 1-1 draw 6-1, the 2-2 draw is 14-1. The draw, just the draw in the 90-minute market, in the betting at 21-10. A couple of stats I really like here going into this game, Lee. Leicester with Leonardo Ochoa in their team. He's got 5 in the league already so far. 3 have actually come within 2 minutes of the opposition scoring, which shows you how Leicester have bounced back this season so far. And after conceding only one set-piece goal under Tony Pulis, Palace have already let in 5 this season. That doesn't include penalties either. So that just shows you that they've got a few deficiencies from corner kicks and from free kicks.
Yeah, It's an interesting game because Palace are the latest team to kind of adopt this counter-attacking policy away from home, where they're happy to give away possession, I read an article where someone looked at the amount of possession that counter-attacking teams have, divided by how many shots on target they have. So obviously the idea is you get a goal and then just shut up shop and you try and hit the other team on the break when they open up. Palace did it brilliantly against Everton because you know that Everton are going to come out all guns blazing and leave gaps behind. If you've got a really solid defence, you can give the midfield as much ball as you want. Mm. If there's nowhere to put the ball, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
A team like Everton, maybe they were a little bit tired from the European adventure, didn't quite have the ability, like maybe a Chelsea would, to find the gaps in that defence. Very hard to break down. What do they do when they go home, though? That's the interesting thing, because you can't play that same way when you go home. That's the key. You know, it's all right copying a team like Atletico Madrid, who are the chief exponents of the counter-attacking system, you know, over the last couple of years. But what do you do when you go home? And I've been trying to look into it, and they still attack these teams. Teams like Stoke still attack when they're at home, but they don't seem to have as much joy in front of goal for some reason, because the away team, conversely, is defending more than they used to. So I think that's the same that will happen here. I think Palace will still attack. They'll still try to stay solid, but I think Leicester will get the better of them. Leicester are in a great run of form. I think Leicester at 17-10 are a bet here. I've liked what they've done. Yeah, I echo everything that Tony said. You could tell by the stats how nervous they were. They were just pumping balls from the back against Everton, I think, and managed to get away with it. Since then, they've grown in confidence. Obviously, last week will be great. I'm not deserting Ajoa either. You know, I've talked about him on most of the podcasts that we've done from the start of the season, even after being ridiculed about his movement that I think I mentioned early on. But it's been proved right, I'm happy to say. And he's a good price again to score in this match because he's away from home. So Ajoa to score any time for me. And I like the Leicester win as well. Looks decent.
Leicester to win the game is 17-10. Leonardo Ajoa to score anytime 7-4.
Why?
He's 11-2 to
Why?
Score first
just
and last.
Just a patch of grass, isn't it? They're going to make chances. Yeah. Why is he 7-4?
It seems a big price given
together.
He's got 5 in the league.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who wants a nice, tasty bet, then, and you like the Leicester side of it, then you know, just stick that together. Leicester to win and Ajoa to score. I mean, the headline offers Vardy to score and Leicester to win, isn't it? He had a great game, didn't he, last week?
Mm. But 16-5 it is, by the way. Leicester to win and Leonardo Ajoa to score 16-5.
Yeah.
Here with William Hill. Next up, we've got the league leaders, Chelsea, at home at Stamford Bridge against Aston Villa. Chelsea 1-4, the draw 9-2, Aston Villa in the betting at 11-1. They've been nibbled in the betting here, Aston Villa, Lee. Mm. 12-1 into 11-1. The old adage rings true here. You won't go far wrong backing double-figure prices in the Premier League if you do it week in, week out.
Yeah.
It's tough to... But I can see your facial expression there suggests you're hesitant to get stuck into Aston Villa here at 11-1.
I describe it as a chubby hesitation.
Chubby hesitation.
Face at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I had them plus a goal, didn't I, against Liverpool. And obviously, because I thought they were, you know, away from home against a team like Liverpool, I thought they could expose them and get something out of the game. Not here, though. This is Chelsea, and, you know, talking about, you know, counter-attacking teams, the last thing you want is a team who are always at it. You know, you have to be concentrated for 90 minutes. Stoke did it at City brilliantly. City were a bit off colour, I think, as well. That helped. Don't expect Chelsea to be off colour in any way, shape or form. Made changes in midweek for the League Cup. They'll come back firing here. I mean, you know, when Leicester went to Chelsea, you put up that, you know, to be a draw at half time, which came in,
yep,
around the 2-1 mark. It's a little bit shorter here because I think the traders know what Villa are up to. I'm not sure they can last till half time. I wouldn't put anyone off backing that, but I'm going to be a little bit safer, I think, and just think that Aston Villa can keep it tight for half an hour. So the 30-minute betting, it's a bit shorter, as I say, than it was for the Leicester game when they went to Chelsea. It's 17-20 the draw after 30 minutes. You know, the obvious way to play it would be the half-time draw, full-time Chelsea. If you think Villa can make it to half-time, then that's 3-1. I'm just not sure if they'll quite get there this time.
No.
I don't know. He's done really well with them so far, though. And you know, they've been to Liverpool and done really well. You know, they went to Stoke, who were a very good home team. They got the same result there. They got a win there as well, 1-0. So they know how to do it. Maybe I should trust Villa a bit more. Go on. I'll go draw half-time, full-time Chelsea.
Okay, draw half-time, full-time Chelsea, which is in the betting at 3-1 here. We know, Tony, how Paul Lambert's going to set up. He's going to invite the pressure and try and counter-attack. It's whether or not they've got the ability to do this against this power-packed Chelsea side with so much attacking talent everywhere on the pitch.
Yeah, as I said, don't forget that Chelsea are conceding goals themselves. Yeah, anyway, so we got three past them a couple of weeks ago. They conceded last week as well. But for me, I think the last 2 weeks sum up Aston Villa under Paul Lambert, to be honest. I said, get away from home, outplayed Liverpool, even though it was only 1-0. They outplayed Liverpool, you see. So, and last week, 3-0 at home to Arsenal. That, I think that sums up Villa under Lambert. But to me, if I was looking at them two fixtures before the off, and you're looking at Arsenal versus Aston Villa, Chelsea versus Villa again, I'd be fancying them away from home against Chelsea more than they are at home to Arsenal, to be honest. I fancy them to maybe get something again. I really, really do. I would seriously, what value are we going to get from back in Chelsea, to be honest? You need to go where you score and win or something like that. Maybe I'm going to stick my neck out on the line here. I fancy Villa to get a result. I really, really do.
I mean, the other thing, Tony, it's interesting when you look at, when you get the prices like this, I mean, it's always worth looking. Aston Villa plus two goals. So you're getting a Chelsea win by a single goal, you're getting the draw, and you're getting the Villa win. All three results on your side. And that's still odds against at 5-4.
I think that's a good bet. I really do think that's a good bet.
That is a very good bet.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, plus three gets really short then. You know, it starts to get to 2-5. But I think that's, you know, you're getting any bet where your odds against getting three results, you can't really sniff at, can
and
you?
And you will make money in the long term. Historically, you've made money in the long term by backing double figure prices in the Premier League. Mm. And I'm sure that will continue. Man United have helped out considerably in the last couple of years. Yeah. But Aston Villa 11-1 to win this game.
Yeah, the other very quick thing just to bear in mind is that, you know, with the idea of it being a quiet first half, when you look at Chelsea, that the difference between their first half and second half performances is stark. You can see how few shots they have in the first half, and then when they realise they have to get going, they really start to get stuck into the opposition then. So that's worth bearing in mind as well. In that, you know, it's almost like they get in at half time and they go, Mourinho goes, right, okay, yeah, they've had their time, or the opposition gets tired, or the concentration lapses around the 60 minute mark. We saw it when Barcelona were in their pomp. We saw it week in, week out, where Messi would score somewhere between 60 and 67 minutes. Don't know what it is about the hour mark, but teams seem to falter then. So don't be surprised if it is a quietish first half from Chelsea. If you're looking at it in play, and then, you know, if you think they're going to, you know, step it up or move into another gear, then the second half would be where they'd score the goals.
To Old Trafford next for Manchester United versus West Ham. Manchester United 2-5. The draw is 7-2. West Ham in the betting at 7-1.
2-5 on Man U at the minute.
Over 2.5 goals in the game is 4-9, which looks a better bet than backing Manchester United at 2-5. Tony, Manchester United without Chris Smalling, Phil Jones, Johnny Evans and Tyler Blackett, they're going to have to just play 10 attacking players with David De Gea in net here, in all honesty.
Maybe play rush keeper as well.
Yeah, probably. It's incredible watching Manchester United play football at the moment. I thought it was really interesting what Louis van Gaal said about their naivety to go for four against Leicester. Isn't that something that he should control? Shouldn't he be telling the players, don't go for a fourth goal? He was particularly disappointed with them after that game against Leicester. And you can see goals here. I just don't know which end, really. Both ends and plenty of them.
Yeah, as I said, we're watching Man United at the moment. They remind me of like a school team where everyone just wants to play up front and no one wants to play defender. It's just, to me, it seems to two his eggs all in one basket with the attackers, which is all well and good. I think he's trying to copy what Liverpool's done last season, and just basically outscored the opposition. Liverpool's done that last season towards the end, battering teams 6-3s, 5-2s, and in the end they caught up with them. So I think that's probably his aim, because he hasn't bought a defender since he's been there. So for me, Man United's odds on. I like the bet that we've got the draw and maybe plus the goal for West Ham for me, because West Ham were impressive against Liverpool last week and he has a lot of pace and he can hurt Man United, and I'd like the look of West Ham this season and he can hurt Man United on the break, especially at Old Trafford. Maybe a draw and a plus goal for West Ham in one of the bets, that'll be the value for me at Old Trafford.
Yeah, 2-1 that is, isn't it? West Ham plus a goal. Yeah, that's the only bet you can have, I think, on the outrights. You can't, but no one can back Man U. Sure.
You know, you couldn't. It's impossible.
I think that's what they have to do, Tony, as well. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily what he wants to do. But that's what they were doing last week, you know, when they were 3-1 up against, you know, against Leicester. And you wouldn't have... they were going to win the game, weren't they?
And even if you're looking for Manchester United to win the game and you're thinking, Manchester United to win the match and four or more goals in the match. It's 6-4. No. I mean, it's
maybe crazy. You're best back in the state. If you're back in Man United, odds on, you may as well back them to score and win. Both teams to score and Manchester,
yeah, that's
Manchester United.
That's 17-10. That's 17.
That makes
10.
More sense to me if you fancy Man United, because they're going to concede. No two ways about it. So if, I wouldn't be backing odds on. I'll be backing the both teams to score and Man United to win if it was backing Man United.
A player that I think looked great for West Ham the other night, Cech Chiarty, Lee, in the centre of midfield. I think he looks like a powerful player.
Yeah, out this
really
weekend.
Strong.
That's a
is he out this
major
weekend?
Major blow to them. I was just about to come on to that. Yeah. I mean, That means they're going to have to either change the system, because he has been brilliant. I mean, he's the kind of player that I kind of think, well, why didn't Arsenal take a risk on someone like that? Now, what they may have to do is either move Downing to Chiarty's position, which then Downing was great in this kind of tip of the diamond. It's like, oh, if it suddenly found out where Stuart Downing plays after, you know, however many years it's been, or bring in Diego Poyet, Gus's son, who's well thought of, only 19 now, could be a big ask against a big team in Manchester United. The other option is to play Zarate or in the attacking midfield slot and move Downing. So we'll see. Sam Allardyce should go for broke here. He should play attacking. He should do what he did at Hull and play an attacking lineup and go for Man United. His record is rubbish, though, at Man United. 14 defeats out of 19 as a manager. Only two wins spanning a 13-year management career, going to Old Trafford with all sorts of different teams, of course. I think he will go for it, though. I mean, he has to really go for it. United have allowed their opponents 17 shots on target so far. They've conceded 8 goals from those 17 shots. There have been 2 clean sheets in that run, by the way. If they allow West Ham, say, 3, 4, 5 shots, Sacco or Valencia will score. They're in great form.
Yep.
Every week you're getting articles from them saying how much they're loving playing the team, how much they're loving playing in this partnership with each other. They're both around the 4-1 mark to score any time. They've been clipped in quite dramatically.
14-5, Sacco, Zarate 3-1.
That must have changed then with the defensive news from Man United. But I think either of those to score is a decent bet. Take your pick. I mean, Sacco, Valencia scored the week before. Sacco scored this last week. So maybe just go with Valencia to score. But yeah, I mean, West Ham to score over 1.5 goals in the match is another bet that I like. That's priced up at 3-1. You can see that happening.
Here's an emphatic statistic as well, just before we leave this game, which absolutely nails how far Manchester United have fallen in terms of their home form. They've lost 10 of their last 25 Premier League home games, Manchester United, which is incredible.
Yeah.
The previous 10 defeats came across a period of 148 games. That's a phenomenal start, isn't it? Old Trafford used to be a fortress, not anymore. Manchester United definitely gettable at home this season. Penultimate game this weekend, Southampton QPR, 3 p.m. kickoff Saturday. Southampton 4-9, the draw 3-1, QPR in the betting at 7-1. I looked at this match and Southampton are priced up as if they're Liverpool here. That sort of price, aren't they, Lee?
Yeah, the traders loved them last year. They were overpriced every single game last year. We could never figure out why. You know, why they loved them so much. But yeah, I mean, you can't back them at 4-9. I think they'll win the game. I mean, I've just been sat here and Sky Sports News have just, the ticker's just come along saying Jordan Mutch and Joe Barton are both out. I know people might go, yeah, well, but they're major players. Joe Barton's actually a very stable, a dependable midfielder for them. And Jordan Mutch is the guy who can break forward. They had them against Stoke, got a result. They didn't have them the weekend before and got spanked. By Man U at QPR. So I think Southampton will win this game. It's just trying to find the value now, really. I mean, I think Graziano Pelle to score in Southampton to win 7-4. He looked really good in midweek against Arsenal again. He seems to have really settled in quickly. You know, managers will tell you that you should never make a mistake with a player that you know. And it's obvious that Ronald Koeman's worked with him and knew he was a good player and brought him in. I think I'll go with that headline offer just to find a bit of value. Pelé to score and Southampton to win 7-4.
Tony, since the opening day defeat against Liverpool, they've picked up 10 points from a possible 12. They won at Arsenal in the Capital One Cup as well. Only team in the league yet to concede a goal at home as well, Southampton. So I saw that price and immediately thought, that looks short. But it's understandable why it is that short.
So for me, yeah, it is quite understandable. But for me, as I said, it's great that Southampton are doing well after all the players they've sold this summer
yep.
to other to the big clubs, your Man Uniteds and Liverpools, who've bought all their players. And I think no one would regard Southampton doing well this season, obviously except Portsmouth fans. But everyone would love to see them do well for what they've gone through this summer. And as I said, I'm rooting for them every week. It is great to see. And I do fancy Southampton at home this weekend, to be honest. I can't have QPR. To me, they're the worst team in the league. I just can't have them at all. And I said, at least Burnley, they are keeping clean sheets. QPR, they look woeful for me. They look all over the show, and I can't have them in any better at the moment. I wouldn't back them with any confidence. I'll be back in Southampton and the accumulator this week.
4-9 Southampton, the draw 3-1, QPR 7-1. And we finish off with Sunderland against Swansea. Sunderland 17-10, the draw 21-10, and Swansea 17-10. Back-to-back draws in the Premier League for Sunderland. They got a point at home to Spurs and followed that with a draw at Burnley. They were knocked out of the Cup midweek by Stoke at home. Swansea League, great result midweek against against Everton. Back-to-back losses in the Premier League, and then they went and got that win against Everton.
I quite like Swansea, mate. I said they like the way they play football and the way they approach games, and I said they're playing Sunderland, which Sunderland for me don't seem to be the same team as what they were last season under Poirier. They seem to have lost the drive and the cutting edge up front, and I said if it was for me, Swansea, they should be favourite in this game, even though it's at Sunderland. I like the look of Swansea in this one.
17-10 Swansea. What do you reckon? Like?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Sunderland they seem to settle into a pattern of whatever the other team does. They don't seem to lead a game, if you know what I mean. I mean, I think the 2-2 draw, Tottenham, you know, were a bit off colour, but they, you know, it was still an own goal that, you know, that got Sunderland the point in that one. You know, beaten by Stoke in the week in the cup at home as well. Haven't had a win at home, and you know, this season in any competition. So you know, the 1-1 draw against Man U, again, you can't really any result against Man U. I don't think you can read too much into it. Yeah. You know, the last home game of last season was a 3-1 defeat to Swansea City. You know, so you know, I think I don't see too much change. I think, like you say, they're probably a little bit worse than they were then. So I'm happy to go with that price. I think they're a decent price, Swansea, to be fair.
Swansea in the market at 17-10. Sunderland also 17-10 and the draw 21-10. We come to the Naps now. Are we doing this feature then still?
Yes, we are. It will come good eventually.
I'm sure it will. Last week was unfortunate last week, Lee. You went for Hull and they gave away that 2-0 lead against Newcastle. I went for Chelsea and City scored in the 82nd minute. Frank Lampard with that typically, or as you would expect with that goal. What are you going for this week, Lee?
You
go first.
Well,
this time.
I think that whatever happens with Manchester United in this game, and I don't quite know what will happen, as we've all discussed and agreed on, one thing they have to do is score goals. You know, because they can't trust the defence. So, you know, I think he'll go with a similar kind of lineup to he went with last week, which was, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? Falcao, Van Persie, Rooney, Di Maria, Herrera. And then you bring Mata off the bench as well. I mean, it's just they've just got to have goals in it. And I think they'll get off to a flyer as well. I think it might be similar. They won't concede as many goals as they did last week. So I'm looking. I mean, the both teams to score in the first half is 100-30, which looks really tasty, I must admit. But I'm just going to go for Man United to score over 1.5 goals in the first half. I like that. First half, Man United to score over 1.5 goals is 11-5. So two goals or more in the first half, 11-5.
I'm going to keep mine pretty simple. I'm going with Arsenal to beat Tottenham at 4-5. Don't rate Tottenham highly at all. I think Wenger will have them sussed pretty quickly, and I think Arsenal win that game. Tottenham's record at Arsenal, whether it be Highbury or now at the Emirates, is dismal. So I'll just go with Arsenal, straightforward 4-5 to win that game in 90 minutes, Saturday 5:30 p.m. against Spurs. Tony?
I'm going for Everton to get a penalty at Anfield. I'm only kidding. the bet I like, as I've done about it before, sending off in the Merseyside derby. There's a Martin Atkinson referee, and he's averaging 18 yellows in 4 games this season. He's due a red. He sent off 3 players before in the past, so yeah, red card in the Merseyside derby, down to about the 12-5 price for me.
Yeah, 12-5, that's in the cards market. Tony, absolute pleasure speaking to you this afternoon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you know what, Tony? If it, when I'm watching the Merseyside derby, if they get a penalty, I don't think I'll be able to watch the rest of the match for laughing. Brilliant. In honour of you, I think we might start a Stat of the Week feature from next week.
That would be good. Yeah. That would be good.
It might be called the Tony Scott Stat of the Week.
Go for it.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a pleasure.
Have a good weekend, gents.
You too. Speak soon.
Ciao, mate. Bye now. Bye.
Good fun. Thank you to Tony Scott. He is the football betting tipster at the Liverpool Echo. He can be found on Twitter as well, at Tony_Scott11. It was good fun, that.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
did
really
love,
good.
Did love that stat.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved that stat. And, of course, your stat about the West Brom game, was it? Being the 786 different matchup.
Something I can't remember like it now.
Oh, it was a great stat.
Great
anyway.
Start.
We'll leave it there. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. Kellner.
Thank you all for listening to the podcast. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or check it out on Audio Boom as well. Myself and Lee will be back with another guest next week. Speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.